You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis is bringing a message of peace and reconciliation to Colombia this week as he meets people in the cities of Villavicencio, Medellin, Cartagena and the capital, Bogotá. Yet despite a peace accord with the country's main rebel group, Colombia remains a deeply divided nation where the scars of over half a century of civil war affect most families, parishes and communities. Claire Dixon is head of the Latin America desk for CAFOD, the London-based Catholic Agency for Overseas Development. She talked to me about the conflict in Colombia and about the way Pope Francis is bringing vital signs of support to those seeking to build a sustainable peace in the country.
Despite the peace accords with the FARC from last year, there is a tremendous problem of polarization. There is not a ceasefire in certain terms with the other organizations who are committed to armed struggle. So there is a great deal of tension within the country, uneasiness with the possibility of peace really being able to be possible. And despite some hopeful signs where the National Liberation Army, which is the last remaining guerrilla organization, has entered into negotiations with the government, the problem is that the areas that have been cleared by the FARC fighters, the FARC guerrilla fighters, are rapidly being taken over by other paramilitary groups, including also the National Liberation Army. And so there is still a great deal of tension. I would say that the country is probably more polarized now than it's ever been.
Certainly that was visible, wasn't it, during the referendum on the peace accord?
Well, there was less than half a percent, a percentage point difference between those in favor of voting for the peace accords and those in favor of voting against. And, of course, it depends a great deal upon where you are and who you are, the way you voted. The cities for the last number of years have been more or less free of violence. There hasn't been that kind of sense of war. The major cities, for the most part, for them, war is going on in the countryside and it doesn't affect them. And so the vote in the cities was really much more in favor of the no to the peace accords because, you know, they weren't affected by the war. In the rural areas, of course, it was very different, and the vote in the rural areas was very much in favour of the peace accords because the people in the rural areas are the ones who are at the sharp end. They're the ones who are the victims of massacres, of the tension, of the conflict. They're the ones who are being displaced from their lands. And so it's interesting to see just how the vote actually broke down. And of course, only quite a small proportion, less than 40% of the population, voted in the referendum. So there is still a long way to go, and I think the visit of the Pope will give a further impetus to those and encouragement to those who've really been suing for peace. And as we know, the Church has been a major player in trying to bring the different parties together over the last 30 years, particularly the Church in representing the voice of those who are the victims of the violence.
Alongside these important themes of peace and reconciliation, another key issue for the Pope is that of land and environmental protection.
Part of this is linked, of course, to the fact that Colombia is one of the countries which has an enormous area of its country as part of the Amazon basin. And the way that the Amazon has been exploited very much plays to the messages from the Pope that he gave out in his encyclical Laudato Si of maintaining and protecting our relationship with our common home, the protection of the planet. And, of course, his whole emphasis in that was about making sure that profit should never come before people. So it's very important that those messages of the Pope are taken to heart because the development model that the government of Colombia seems to be pursuing is based on exploitation of the rainforest, exploitation of the land. So it's mining, extractive industries. And of course, they are the very issues which have been the cause of the conflict in the first place. Access to land has been at the root of Colombia's problems, as it has been in so many countries of Latin America over the years. But it's a very intractable problem because Colombia is one of the wealthiest countries in terms of minerals and resources. And also, I think, the whole issue of bringing comfort to the victims. When he's in Cartagena, one of his priorities is to meet with families of displaced communities, hundreds and thousands of people who are living in the outskirts of the city and who have been displaced by the war. One of the significant things about his visit to Cartagena is that he'll be visiting and saying Mass in the church of St. Peter Claver, where the bones of the saint are held. St. Peter Claver was the patron saint of slaves, of African slaves. And this is still very much a reality in Colombia today, where the Afro-Colombian descendants are really the poorest of the poor and very much victimized during the war.
As you say, the church, there has been very much a voice for these marginalized communities, hasn't it, over the recent decades? And yet it's had a lot of its own martyrs, people who've been killed for standing up for justice, for human rights.
Well, indeed. I mean, two of the people that the Pope is beatifying on this visit are direct victims. There is a bishop and also a priest who were killed during the long years of crisis. Bishop Jesus Emilio Jaramillo was killed in 1989 by the National Liberation Army. And further back, Father Pedro Ramirez was killed in 1948 by forces linked to the Liberal Party. And so, you know, there has been a tremendously long history of conflict in Colombia. It's a very, very multi-rooted, multipolar kind of conflict. And the church, realizing that, has been working also in very local initiatives as well. It's not just trying to work for a national peace accord, because Colombia seems to be several different countries and the realities of different regions are very different from one to the other. You have the Caribbean coast, you've got mountains where you can ski, you've got temperate areas, you've got jungle. And so often the church has been the only organization with any kind of authority which has been present in all of those very dispersed and distant areas. Often people's only experience of the government has been through the armed forces or the police, whereas the church and the parishes are everywhere. And so the church has been kind of the first point of call for people who have been victims of violence or human rights violations or who've been displaced from their land. So the church, 30 years ago now, was the first organization in Colombia to actually talk about the problem of displacement. Internal displacement has been a terrific problem in Colombia and continues to be. I mean, until the terrible crisis in Syria, Colombia had the largest number of displaced people in the world. That's 7 million people displaced by the conflict. And the church has been on their side, providing support. And of course, the church has been caught up in the conflict in ways that if your community, if your local parishioners are being killed by the paramilitaries or by the army, then you would tend to have a very critical position towards the paramilitaries and the army. Likewise, if your parishioners are being killed by the FARC or kidnapped by the ELN, then clearly the church would have a critical position. But what has united the church has been the need to find peace, and based on peace, the need for reconciliation, the need for justice, and the need for reparations and compensation for the victims.
Pope Francis is, of course, following in the footsteps of two of his predecessors, John Paul II and Pope Paul VI, who also visited Colombia. What difference does it make, do you think, the fact that he is the first Latin American, the first person who really can understand from the inside, if you like?
I think it's enormously important. I mean, basically, the Colombians love Pope Francis. The Catholic Church has a very high reputation in Colombia, but particularly the fact that this is a man who for the first time really understands where they are coming from. He's lived through the days of dictatorship. He's lived through the days of torture. He knows exactly what the suffering is, and he understands the church in Latin America from the inside. It's very different from the position that Pope John Paul had when he visited. Certainly, Pope John Paul, as we know, had an experience of domination. From Poland, his experience was one of being dominated by their close neighbor, the Soviet Union. Whereas in Latin America, the close neighbor who dominates has been the United States. And it's a very, very different sense. And that's the whole kind of, that whilst I would say that the Pope is not a proponent of liberation theology, he understands it. And of course, he's also a Jesuit, and the Jesuits in Colombia have been extraordinarily important in trying to bring peace, particularly in different dioceses, in different areas. But, of course, they've had a national and a local work in pleading for peace. One of the leading Jesuits in Colombia has been taking victims of violence to the peace talks, trying to ensure that the victims of violence are able to speak directly to the warring parties to say, please, we need peace to be brought. And I would say that the Pope is going to be thrilled to be with a group of Jesuits as well, who have been so much, let's say, smelling of the sheep as he would like.
My thanks to Claire Dixon, head of the Latin America desk for CAFOD, the London-based Catholic Agency for Overseas Development.